Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message.
Hey, 10:15. Man, I am excited for this day. And hey, if we haven't met yet, my name is Keith, and it really is a privilege to serve as lead pastor here with my wife, Amy, and grateful that you're here. I want to say Happy New Year to you guys, and really just excited to kick off this year together in this space or online and discover what God has for us. Before we get into God's word, I got some housekeeping, all right, some little housekeeping stuff. And so I need you all to repeat with me, participation is required in this moment. I will find out if you're not speaking even behind the mask, all right? I have that ability to see it. I want you to say this with me. Everybody say 8:30, 10 o'clock, 11:30. All right, one more time. Ready? 8:30, 10 o'clock, 11:30. Those are our new service times when we get started in our new space, January 24th. So believe it or not, we've got 3 Sundays, including this one, left in this building. That's awesome. And so we are super excited. We are planning tentatively. We're kind of on track for it, and hopefully nothing changes by then. But if it does, you'll be the first to know. January 24th, we'll be starting at the Residence Inn across the street from the Tanger Outlets, and just super excited, more space for our main space, but really for our kids as well. And so we're shifting our service time slightly because we want to give a little bit more time for us to hang out because the lobby there is bigger than this whole building. So we're probably going to want to spend a little more minutes saying hi to each other, so we want to give our team enough time to turn it over. And also, I need to highlight this, right now in the climate that we are in as a country and a world, with the restrictions that we face on gathering, we will now be in a non-residential gathering space, which means there are certain conditions that we need to abide by. So every single one of our services will be capped, like a hard cap at 50 adults and 50 kids. And so we're going to just watch that. We're going to see how these 3 service times are going to work for us. We believe these 3 times with that cap will allow us to all continue to meet, and your friends and family who we haven't had a seat for quite some time, they'll have a seat now. And as those restrictions lift, our service times will shift again, because if you've seen that space at our legacy dinner, it holds like 130, but we just can't do that yet. And so thank you, church, for being flexible and just walking with us through this. And one other thing I want to talk about for that is this. Our 8:30 service will not have kids programming. So our 10 o'clock and our 11:30 will. So if you've got children, I'm going to really encourage you to come to the 10 and the 11:30. And if you don't, the 8:30 is a great service time for you. The reason is our kids' space at this new space is like more than quadruple the current size that is downstairs. And our kids' dream team, in order to provide an excellent service, like we need like 3 to 4 people in the nursery, 3 to 4 people in the elementary, 3 to 4 in the pre-K, people by our check-in kiosk, outside the doors, we know we can do that really well in 2 service times. And that's a lot of kids. I mean, that's 100 kids in one Sunday. So we're believing for that in those 2 times. So it's going to be awesome. You're going to get all of that in the weeks to come. We're going to have some printed material for you, email, social media, but wanted to get it in your head today. Say it again with me, 8:30. 10 o'clock, 11:30. All right, I know what you're thinking. Why are we leaving this building? It's so hot in here. I don't want to leave it. So, me and Jesus have had some words lately because, like, we got 3 Sundays left. And, like, last month, the cesspools got all destroyed. And this morning, the boiler wasn't working. I'm like, really, Lord? Like, 3 more Sundays, bro. Like, just 3 more. Get us out of here. So, but thank you for being patient as you guys actually, you got 61. The last service had 48. So, come on, somebody. Let's go. And just super excited. All right, let's jump into God's word. We're starting this series today called I'll Do It Tomorrow. And really, the reason why I want to spend time doing this for these 5 weeks is because when a new year rolls around, there's a whole lot of hype and a whole lot of excitement. You guys do know January 1st is identical to December 31st as far as the calendar is concerned, right? Like, it kind of feels like there's all this magic and this energy, and now is the day. It's a new year and a new day and a new me. But oftentimes, I found that when the new year rolls around, all that really happens is I'm reminded of all the stuff I did not do last year. Like, all the stuff that I said I would do, and then kind of got to it, and I said, you know, I'll do that tomorrow. I'll take care of that at another time. And really, what I want to do for these 5 Sundays in January is I want to explore some things as believers that we have the privilege to do because we are a new creation in Christ, and yet too often we forfeit them. Like, we forfeit practices that Christ says, live this way. Like, don't be conformed to the pattern of the world any longer. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we look at some things and say, I'll do that tomorrow. So we're going to take this month to look at some of these things God invites us to do, from forgiving people to reading scripture and just these things that God has said, this is actually a blessing. Like, this isn't to be a burden for you, but we look at it and we feel overwhelmed and say, well, I'll just take care of that tomorrow. Now, today, I want to start with this question that I'm sure all of us can relate to. Have you ever in your life looked at another believer, maybe even in this space during our worship time, and you've looked at another person in a row and they're just going in. You're just like, what do they know that I don't know? What are they? Are you seeing someone like you know their circumstances, you know what they're facing, and yet they have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And they always speak in the King James, and they're just walking around with a halo, and you're just like, what do they know? Like, I'm reading from the same book. Am I missing a book? Like, is it number 67? There must be another. Like, where's the one that says how to have joy all the time? Come on, have me just wave at me. Make me feel good because I've been there. You've been there before. You just kind of look around like, what? I don't understand why I'm not experiencing the miraculous. Why is it that, like, I'm praying for healing. I'm praying for salvation for someone. I'm praying for God's peace. I'm praying for joy. And yet it doesn't seem that these things are happening in my, what is missing in my life? What is the missing ingredient? Because God has declared he is not a respecter of persons. Like, he doesn't have a favorite child. I tell my son all the time, you are my favorite son. And I tell Cece, you are my favorite daughter. Like as parents, like, we don't have a favorite. God doesn't have a favorite with his children. And so the question is then, what's the problem? Like, why am I not experiencing joy unspeakable? Why am I not having the peace of God that goes beyond understanding? Why is it that in scripture he said, I'll give you authority to speak to sickness and to see the captives set free, and yet it doesn't seem to be happening? What's up? And today we're going to talk about what's up. We're going to talk about the problem that all of us at different times in our walk with Jesus experience. And we're not going to just talk about the problem. That'd be a fun message. Here's the problem. Go home. Figure it out. We're going to talk about the solution, because Jesus actually gives his followers the problem that they're facing and the solution that they need. So I'm going to encourage you to take some notes today. Take out your phone, write some things down, because there's going to be a lot of things that we need to understand from this moment with Jesus, where he looks at his disciples, he looks at his followers and says, here's the problem and here's the solution. And if you don't know Jesus today, I mean, I'm excited for you, because I do believe that today, January 3rd, the first Sunday of 2021, is a day where you might surrender your life to Jesus and be a new creation and be saved in Jesus' name. And what a better way to start off the year than in relationship with the one who made you. And so we're going to see what it looks like to really what Jesus says in John 10:10, have an abundant life, like experience his abundance. Now, what's cool about this moment that Jesus has with his disciples, the crowd, a father, a son, there's a whole lot of people on this day in his ministry. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all talk about it, which is great, because honestly, it even validates the moment. Like, there was all these eyewitnesses, and all three of them took time in their Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, the first three books of the New Testament, to write about this. And so to get the full picture, we're going to jump a little bit, because there are details that Matthew brings out that he felt was important of the day. Mark brings out some more. Luke brings out some. And we're going to kind of bounce around. We're going to get this full story. It's going to be on the screen behind me when we get started, but I do want to encourage you, if you own a Bible, bring your Bible with you to church on Sundays. Maybe that'll be part of your new year, new me, church person. Just bring your Bible, because as I'm reading and as I'm speaking, what I believe is really happening is the Holy Spirit begins to speak way more than I can. And you might be looking at that page and saying, oh, I never saw that. I want to underline that. I want to, like, come on, let's grow together this year. But we'll have it up here behind us as well. So let's get started. Matthew chapter 17. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Now, I want to pause for a second, because the they in this passage is Jesus, Peter, James, and John. Okay, so the four of them were together on a mountain. It's crazy. We don't have enough time to go into how crazy it was. Moses was there. Elijah was there. Jesus was glowing like bleach, it says. It literally says that his clothes were whiter than man could bleach them. Like, he was radiant. His glory was there. And then they come off this mountain, and they really step right into a valley. Side sermon, there are moments in our lives where we're having mountaintop experiences and then straight into a valley of the shadow of death, but he is there with us, amen? So look, they step on down. It says that a man knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or water. And I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Now, if you're a parent, or maybe you have a parent's love for a child, you can relate to this, right? Like, just imagine, here's this father who brings his son to Jesus' disciples and is explaining the situation. Here's my boy. We're going to find out it's because he's possessed by a demon. And oftentimes, he's just thrown into the fire. He's thrown into the water. He's constantly having seizures. He's just rolling around uncontrollably. And then it says that, I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Now, this is embarrassing for the disciples, isn't it? And just think about it. Here they are. Jesus is up on the mountain. There's disciples who, if you read a few chapters back, were given the authority in Jesus' name to cast out demons, to lay their hands on the sick, to do all this miraculous stuff. And so they should be able to heal this boy. Like, this is not, it's not outside of their ability. They've been given the authority in Jesus' name. And his dad throws him under the bus. Jesus, I brought him to them, and they couldn't heal him. And then Jesus responds. And in his response, he gives us the problem that you and I can often hold and carry with us, especially when we're not experiencing the miraculous and God's peace and his joy and all of this. So look at what he says here. I'm going to ask you to say some words with me. Jesus responds and says this. You say this word, unbelieving, and say this other word, perverse. Okay, we're going to do that again, right? You, unbelieving, and perverse. Okay, that's the two words I want to show you what they mean. So those are the ones to write down. You unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Okay, so depending on your view of Jesus, you can insert your own tone into that passage of how he said, how long shall I stay with you? How long should I put up with you? But he identifies the problem in their lives, and it's the same problem that you and I can often face. He says they were unbelieving and perverse. Now, I don't want you in this moment to say those are strong words. I don't even know you, bro. How are you going to call me perverse? It's easy for us to just disconnect. I'm not unbelieving. Well, he's talking to his disciples who believed in him. They believed. And now he looks at them. And in fact, they already had moments in their ministry with Jesus where they reported to him, we cast out demons in your name. Like they have believed, they have had this authority. So why is Jesus saying you are unbelieving and perverse? There's something we have to listen to here. Because that means today, if you're a follower of Christ, you like me can be unbelieving and perverse. So what do these words mean? Let me break them down for you. To be unbelieving simply means you are not connected enough to God. If you're unbelieving, you're not connected to him, right? You don't believe in him. At some point, there was a disconnect between what you believe in your heart and what God has declared. I'm unbelieving. I'm not connected enough to you anymore. That's why we can go through situations in life. We can go through, whether it's globally through a pandemic or in your own home, you can have situations, and there can be these moments of, I don't believe that God is able to take authority over this thing. What is it? It's unbelief. I'm unbelieving. Now, that's not connected enough to God. To be perverse simply means you're too connected to the world. That perverse means a distortion, a pollution. Really, what Jesus is saying is, your problem is you're not connected enough to me, and you're way too connected to the world. Let me explain what that word world means, because we are in the world, and yet we are not of the world, Scripture says. Okay, what that means is, while we are here, this is not our home. We are citizens of heaven. Jesus is our ruler, and yet there are patterns and there are ways of the world that we can either adopt or reject. How does the world react when forgiveness is called for? How does the world react when you're told it's terminal, there's no hope, forget it, give up, there's a divorce? How is the world's response? How is the world's patterns? And when we are perverse, we are simply just too connected to the responses like the world responds. So that's what it means. Jesus looks at his disciples and looks at the crowds and says, this is the issue. This whole generation is just disconnected from God, and they're way too connected to the world. Guys, anyone ever been there? You could be a little honest in church. Or you know it in your faith walk. Man, I've just disconnected from the Lord, and I have so connected to the patterns of the world. Now, There is no slide that's going to give you options for what this looks like in your life. And here's why. It's not my responsibility to point that out in your life. It's the Holy Spirit's. He does a way better job at being the Holy Spirit than I could ever do. Than you could. Like, that is his role. Jesus said that he would come to convict us of sin, lead us into righteousness. Like, that's one of his primary functions in the life of a believer, is to convict us, not condemn us the way the enemy wants to, but to convict and say, look, come on, you're way too connected to the world. You're processing this the way people who don't have me in their life process this. And you've forfeited time with me. So here's two questions that I'm going to invite you to ask, and they're dangerous. They're hard questions to ask. But here's what I invite you to ask later today, tomorrow, your time with Christ. Write this down. Holy Spirit, show me where I'm not connected enough to you. And then listen. Holy Spirit, show me where I'm not connected enough to you. And if you will humble yourself and listen, he will speak. I promise you, he will show you where you are not connected enough to him. Because he's done it in my life, and he still does. You know, we used to wake up and used to love being with me in prayer. You couldn't even go to bed without talking about me. You couldn't get in your car without worship. He'll show you where you are not connected to him any longer in your rhythms. And the other question you ask is this: Holy Spirit, show me where I'm too connected to the world. And then listen, don't fight him on it. Back off, bro. That's my Netflix original. Okay, you ain't going there. No, just let him speak. Let him speak. He will say, you know, you used to have standards of media you would not consume. You used to have ways that you would navigate social media, articles you would not read, things you would not post, places you would not go, responses you would not. He will show you. We listen so he might show us. Now, what's awesome is Jesus doesn't just give them the problem here. So our problem is we're unbelieving and we're perverse. We are disconnected from God and we're too connected to the world. He actually gives the solution as well. So we're going to read on. Mark gives us some detail of when the father came to Jesus. Mark chapter 9, verse 20. So they brought him. They bring the child there. And when the spirit saw Jesus, because there's this demon spirit in this boy, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. And he fell to the ground and he rolled around foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. Now look at this. He says, but if you can do anything, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Right? If here comes the boy, and now this demon is in the presence of Almighty God, and he's just throwing a fit. And Jesus, how long? From childhood. We don't know how old the boy is, but this implies it's been some time. He's older than childhood. From childhood, this has been the case. And then the father says, if you can, if you can do anything, show us compassion, help us. Take pity on us, help us. And I love how Jesus responds graciously to this father. He says, if you can. I think his voice went up there too. I think it's exactly how he did it, just in Greek, whatever he was speaking. If you can. If you can, said Jesus, like, do you know who you're talking? You met my goons. They couldn't do it, my boys. You're talking to me now. Like, they could have. They just unbelieving and perverse, especially Judas. We're just going to work with him. If you can, if I can. And then he says this, everything is possible for one who believes. Come on, man, that's a promise of God's word. Everything is possible for one who believes. Now, what I want to put the emphasis on here, and we're going to break down where religion would put the emphasis. I want to show you where the gospel puts emphasis. Everything is possible, Jesus Christ. What he's really saying is here, if you believe in me, there is nothing that is off the table. Like, there is nothing. It's not that Jesus can't fix COVID. Jesus can't fix cancer. Jesus can't restore a marriage. Jesus can't save that person. Jesus can't heal that. No, everything is possible. Don't box God in. He is able to do more than we can ask, think, or imagine. He is the God of all things. There is nothing that we could pray for or believe that he is able to do that he says, not that. Everything is possible. So he's just redirecting the Father's heart here to say, no, if I can, yes, I can. Yes, everything is possible. And then look at how the Father responds. Immediately, right in response, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. There's belief in my heart, and help me overcome my unbelief. Look at this. He's saying, I'm connected to you, but there's parts of me that are not connected. There's unbelief, and he doesn't brush it off as being okay. Come on, how many times in our walk with Jesus we say, well, everybody struggles with sin. Everybody has this issue. I'm just a work in progress. Yeah, you are. Sanctification is a process, but the Father doesn't settle there. Come on, Jesus, I believe in you. The stuff that's not okay, it's okay. No, he says, there's unbelief, there's a disconnect from you, and I need you to help me. Notice, he doesn't say, I need to try harder, I need to believe more, I need greater levels of faith. He just says, I'm surrendering, I need you, Jesus. Oh, how I need you to overcome the unbelief in my heart. Come on, this is what he's saying as this father. He's saying, I need you. I don't need me, I need you. And what I love is Jesus does not look at him and say, there's unbelief in there? I can't work with that. You need more faith. You need greater faith. You need a higher level of faith. Go get you Faith University. Go to school to get faith and then come back with a master's degree and we will do something with. He just says, help me. He's humble. He acknowledges the disconnect. Help me. Jesus rebuked the demon. I love that the next verse doesn't say Jesus rebuked the Father. I do, man. Come on, how many know that's what religion will do? Religion will say, well, you're not experiencing your healing because there's an issue with you. You've got to pray more. You've got to believe more. Jesus rebukes the demon. He does not rebuke the Father. Man, the nine didn't even get that, bro. That's just like literally illuminating right now. Alive and active. We're going to run this one for the rebroadcast. And it came out of the boy, right? It says it came. So Jesus rebukes the demon, and the demon comes out of the boy, and he's healed in that moment because Jesus has full authority over anything that you're facing today. Jesus does. The name of Jesus is greater than any other name. It's greater than the name of COVID. It's greater than the name of cancer. It's greater than the name of divorce. It's greater than the name of brokenness. It's greater than depression. It's greater than anxiety. Jesus has the name that is above all other names. So he speaks to the demon, and the demon is rebuked and leaves. Now, the next part is awesome, because the next part is exactly how I would respond. It says, then the disciples, they came to Jesus in private. Jesus, come over here, behind the fig tree. Come. Make sure there's no one around. Okay, why couldn't we do that? Like, come on, this is real. They want to know. They are his disciples. They have been commissioned by him to have authority over demons, to cast out demons, to heal the sick. Like, Jesus has already told them this in his ministry. He sent them out. He commissioned them, and yet they couldn't do it. So they really genuinely want to know what we're asking today as well. Why don't I have joy? Why don't I have peace? Why is that person experiencing miraculous? Why is there healing there and not? What is it, Jesus? What's going on? Why couldn't we drive it out? So we have our problem. Unbelief and perversion, and now he's going to give us our solution. He says, he replied to them, because you have, say these three words with me, so little faith. Okay, we're going to talk about that. So you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, right? He just takes the smallest seed he could. They knew, just this size, if you had this much, if you just had this, like you have so little, it's not even this. If you had this, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And then he reaffirms what he's already said. Everything is possible. He says nothing will be impossible. He's just telling it the same, just different ways. Everything is possible. Nothing is impossible for you. Now, what's interesting here is it almost feels like then, okay, so then the pressure is on me. Like he's telling them, you just don't have enough faith, right? Like he's telling them, you have so little faith. If you just had some more faith, then this would have happened. It feels like it feels religious. It feels like he's looking at them saying, you just need more faith. You need to believe more. That's why we got to go to the Greek. We're going to go to the Greek. You guys ready? Okay, I can't pronounce this word, but I'm going to do my best. If you speak Greek, I am so sorry. So little faith is Aligapistos. That sounds like not Greek. This is like Aligapistos. Like, it's probably not the way it's pronounced, but that's how it sounds. I'm going to use that again. So Aligapistos simply means, it means this, lack confidence. Lack. The word lack means not there, nothing. Lack, like it's not there. There's lacking confidence. In fact, the full meaning, if you're curious, is Strong's number 3640. Dull to hearing the Lord's voice, disinterested in walking intimately with him. Like, that's the full meaning of what we just translated in English, so little faith. No, it actually means lack confidence. You have dulled your ears to hear his voice, and you lack the interest to even walk with him. Okay, when you look at someone like that, they don't have so little faith. They have no faith. They don't believe. That's why Jesus is able to say, you don't believe. In fact, if you even believed this much, this would have happened. You just don't believe. You're not interested in walking with me. Why? Because you're unbelieving. Do you see how Jesus, like, I barely had to do any work to prep this message. Like, Jesus did everything here. He's walking them. You're unbelieving and perverse. Not us. We're the disciples. Why couldn't we do it? You gave us authority. Oh, you lack confidence. You stopped believing. You are so disinterested in walking with me because you're way too connected to the world. You are perverse and you are unbelieving. You have disconnected from me. And guys, in our faith journey, this is a problem that we can choose to pick up or a problem we can choose to reject. That you are saved in Jesus' name by grace alone. That is the gospel. You do not strive for it. You do not work for it. It is a free gift of Jesus. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. If you have put your faith in him, you are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. And scripture says, now be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, there are old patterns that you might choose to pick back up, or you might walk as a new creation. Too often, we just settle. So I'll just disconnect from God. It's too much work. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll work on it tomorrow. Guys, I want to make sure you understand this. It's the leader of our faith, not the level of our faith, that matters most. It is the leader of our faith. It is Jesus Christ himself that matters most, not the level of our faith. He is the one that matters. He is the one that we need. We need more of Jesus. I don't need more faith. I need more of Jesus. John declared, I must decrease and he must increase. If I've got more Jesus in my life, I'm going to continue to experience the miraculous that he has for me. I will live an abundant life. I will have peace beyond understanding. I will have joy unspeakable. So here's our problem. We're unbelieving and perverse, and we need more of Jesus in our life. So how do we connect to him? And he gives us the answer. He says in Matthew 17, but this kind, this whole situation that just took, this whole thing, this kind, this mountain, it does not go out except by, say these words with me, prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Two beautiful gifts from God for the believer. They too often go in the I'll do it tomorrow column in our lives. I'll pray tomorrow. I'll wake up in time. I'll fast broccoli. Just set myself up for the win this year. I'll fast the real stuff tomorrow. I'll take care of that. Well, we tend to just, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll work on it. And Jesus, he literally gives us the problem in our lives. You're unbelieving. You have disconnected from me. You are perverse. You're too connected to the world. And you need prayer and fasting. How does that relate? Watch this. Prayer connects us to God. If you have disconnected from God, if you feel overwhelmed in this season, I guarantee it because it's been my experience as well, you probably have a really bad prayer life. It's just the reality. If all you're filled with is overwhelmed feelings and just spinning scenarios and trying to figure out how this is going to work out, I would ask you, how much do you pray? How often are you in prayer? Are you, as scripture says, pray without ceasing? Like just bringing it to God. And if you will, you will have a connection to God. Too often we run it on dial-up and God's like, I've got a cable modem here for you. Like, connect with me. Never stop praying. Just stay connected. Prayer connects us to God. And when we're perverse, we're way too connected to the world. Well, guess what? Fasting disconnects us from the world. How cool is Jesus that he just gives us the problem and the solution for our lives? Here's the problem. You're unbelieving and perverse. What do I do? Pray and fast. Connect with me. Disconnect from the world. See, fasting, and I want to talk a little bit about fasting as we close out, because fasting is probably like the most neglected practice in our Christian faith. And there's so many reasons for that. Fasting is kind of everywhere. It's in all religions. You know, Islam fast, Buddhist fast. It's kind of, so it could almost make the Christian say, should I even do this? Like, do I have to fast now that Jesus has come? Like, can he fulfill all things? And then we've got the pocket of our world that the fast for nutritional reasons. Nothing wrong with it. But a lot of times we hear fasting, we just think, oh, you cleansing. You're just moving out, you're getting something. That's great. So it can cause the Christian to say, do I even have to do this? Like, why do I have to fast? What is Christian about fasting? What's Christian about fasting? It is us going without so that we might disconnect from the patterns of this world. So that the things that we normally pick up, wrong or right, normally we go for that food. Normally we go to that social media. Normally we go to that experience. We say, I'm going without because I want to be disconnected from the patterns of this world. I want to be connected to my God. Let me say this. Fasting is not punishment. It's not punishing your body. It's not trying to impress God. In fact, I want to be real clear. Prayer plus fasting for 21 days, right? Because today was our first day of 21 days of prayer and fasting. I do not want to sell you a lie to tell you on January 23rd, whatever it is you're praying for and fasting for is going to come through exactly the way you want it to. What that is called, and I don't even like using this term, but what it's called is the prosperity gospel, which Paul declares that whenever you nullify, add, or change the gospel, it's actually no gospel at all. And so it is not God's word to say, if you fast and pray, I'm going to show up and do your will. First opinions, where you find that one? That I could just impress you, that I can get you to do whatever I want, so I'm going to keep fasting. I'll fast however long it takes, God, so that you can do exactly what I need you to do. That is not the purpose of fasting. In fact, I love what one pastor said. When you fast, you get God's alignment for your assignment. That's what happens when you fast. What we do is we surrender our will and say, God, you show me what you have for my life. Yes and amen. Everything is possible. Nothing is impossible for our God. And so as you pray and fast, like I am for these 21 days, I have people I'm believing are going to be saved. I have healings I'm praying are going to take place. I believe in restoration of marriages. But understand, all of that is simply the manifestation of the blessing we already have, and his name is Jesus. He is the blessing that we already have. The miracle that you need is the miracle of being saved from your sins and being made a new creation in Jesus. Like, you already have that as his disciple. And if you don't know him yet today, you are about to experience a miracle when you surrender your life to him. That is the miracle. And everything else that we see is glimpses and manifestations and just evidences of that blessed life, that abundant life, that his kingdom has come to this world. But guys, don't pray and fast to impress God to do what you want him to do for your life. Do it so that you might connect with him and disconnect from the patterns of this world. And I know it's intimidating. 3 weeks, 21 days. You know, last year was the first year our church did this, like 21 days of prayer and fasting in January. We had no idea that it was going to be 2020, somebody. We had no idea March 15th was coming. Last Sunday, we gathered in this space and then just kind of said, I'll see you in July. Right? I can't imagine having gone through last year without a foundation of 3 weeks of prayer and fasting. Because I go back to my journal entries during those 3 weeks. I go back to where I wrote this one down in one of my journals during that week. I believe it was day 7. I felt the Holy Spirit say, are you looking for me to move a 3-day mountain, a 7-day mountain, or a 21-day mountain? And I go back to that because I know last year was like a 2,100-day mountain. Last year was just one of those mountains. I'm telling you guys, don't neglect the gift that is presented to us during these 3 weeks as a church. And the enemy's going to do his best to tell you you can't. He's going to do his best to tell you it's too hard. He's going to do his best to take all the seeds that are being thrown this morning and just get them before they take root in our hearts to produce fruit. And I'm saying in Jesus' name, he will not have his way. The thief, the stealer, the killer, he will not destroy what God's word is doing. He's stirring up our hearts right now to look to the leader of our faith. And so we have a webpage. I'm not going to go into all the detail this morning because I want you to explore and get alone with the Holy Spirit and ask him what this looks like for you. blazechurch.org/prayer. Go there because that links over to our fasting page as well. And we have resources. We have messages about fasting and prayer there to really encourage you on what this means. And we have examples of what it might look like. So for the next 21 days, maybe for you, you're going to do a soul fast, which means you're really going to focus on the things that are feeding your soul, your emotions, Netflix and social media. You're going to say, 21 days, I don't want those patterns in my life. I need to disconnect from that junk. I need to just focus on Jesus. You might do a partial fast, or maybe you're going to fast a meal or two a day, or fast from sunup to sundown. It's kind of how Jewish fasting would take place. You might do a Daniel-style fasting, which is just fruits and vegetables and beans and nuts. You might do a complete fast where you feel God is saying, seek me for 21 days with just liquids and juice. I was talking to my son, Nate. He's 6, about fasting because we invite our kids to fast in some way that's healthy, people. No one email me. Pastor's kids are not eating for 3 weeks, all right? They're going to eat their Dino Nuggets, don't you worry. But I was talking to him and saying, like, what is it that God's calling you to go without so that you might disconnect from the patterns of the world and connect with God through prayer and fasting? He said, what are you doing, Dad? I said, well, I'm not going to eat for 21 days. And he just looked at me and said, you're going to die. I was like, it's like, I'm not going to die. Jesus did it for 40 days. Yeah, but you, not Jesus. He didn't say that part. I got to walk him through it. No, son, I'm going to just trust in God. He's my sustenance and drink juices and teas and all that. But it was a great conversation, and I'm kind of just having that with you this morning to say, don't let these 21 days go by where you get in the car and the enemy's going to tell you don't do anything. Just because maybe you might look at something on that list and say, well, I can't go without food, so I can't do it. Just connect with God. Disconnect from the world. Let's get the unbelief and the perversion out of our lives and be set up to experience the miraculous and be set up to have joy and peace and everything God has promised. Because like that dad, we all of us need to say today, help my unbelief. I need you. And I do not know a better formula that God has given than prayer and fasting to declare dependence on him. Because when those stomach rumbles come or when you want to grab the phone and do some scrolling and say, no, I need you, Lord. I need you more than anyone and anything else. And so I believe that take this challenge. You're gonna see it. You will. You're going to see a greater experience of the presence of God in your life. That is the gospel, that when we disconnect from the world and we connect to our God, we live as children of the light. You will. The greatest miracle you'll experience is waking up and saying, man, the presence of God is here. Wow. I'm going to work. I'm being around family. I'm out. I'm wherever I am, and I'm connected to his presence, and it's beautiful. And so our team is going to, you guys can join me. We're going to sing out this song as our declaration today called How I Need You. And really, as we sing this, I want it to be your prayer. I want it to be your words to God, the same way that Father said, help my unbelief, for all of us to say, how I need you, Jesus. Oh, I need you. Every single day is in your hands, and I want to know that. I want to stay connected to you. What I want to do is I want to pray just a prayer of blessing over you as you go home now and you make a plan. Because really, we have it on our website, but there's three things that we really need to understand with fasting. First, you have to have an objective. Don't just go into this just like, all right, I'm going to fast. Like, no, why are you going to fast? What are you praying for? Like for me, some of my objectives is I want to have an eternal focus this year. Like I want to see things through an eternal lens. I want to declare dependence on God. I want to ask for forgiveness. That's one of my objectives. Because isn't December like an overeating, overspending month? Like there's a lot of forgiveness to ask for in January. God, I want to ask for forgiveness. Second thing is this, you need to select the type of fast you're going to do. Don't just bounce around and say, I'll start here, I'll try it. No, really just say, for the next 21 days, I'm gonna do a soul fast. I'm going to do a partial fast. I'm going to do a full fast, whatever it is. And the third thing is this, you have to expect results. Come on, that's where it's, I've got mustard seed-sized faith. I'm going to expect results that God is going to do the miraculous. Before I ask you to stand, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. I want to invite you to know Jesus today. This is the miracle that you need to experience. And I believe on the first day of 2021, what an amazing opportunity for you to declare, Jesus, be the Lord of my life, be my Savior. So I want to lead you in a prayer. And as I pray, if this is you and you're saying, I want to know Christ today, just raise your hand to God right now in this moment. Just an act of surrender and saying, Lord, here I am. My hand is up because I want to know who you are. I'm going to ask our church to pray this with me. You make these your words from where you are. Just say this, Father in heaven, forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. Make me new. I surrender my life to you. We've got a resource we want to give you today. So when you head out that door, there's a table in the back. There's a little booklet that says my next step. Make sure you grab that so you know the life God has for you. Right now, I'm going to ask everyone to stand with me, and we're going to sing. So be sure to put your mask on at this point. I want to pray that you would experience the blessing that is Jesus. And so as I say this prayer, if you want him, if you just want more of his presence, I'm asking you to just raise your hands. That's an act of surrender. Just, Lord, here I am. I want more of you in my life. God, I'm bringing myself to you and saying, help me. Just remove the unbelief. Remove the perversion through prayer and fasting. And I want to pray over you right now. So, Father, I thank you. Every person in this space, they're surrendering, Lord. Their hands are open because they want to receive what you have. And God, we start by confessing there is unbelief and perversion in our lives. There is where we've just disconnected from you and we've gotten too caught up in this world. And I thank you that you don't rebuke us. You invite us. You invite us to pray and to fast and to connect with you. And so, Lord, I pray that there would be just your Spirit's power alive in our hearts. We can't do it on our own. So we are trusting in you, God. All of our trust is in you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you are going to do great things over these 3 weeks. I thank you that we will see the evidences of that miracle, that blessing that is our salvation, that is Jesus. Lord, I thank you for those who are believing for healing in their bodies. You are able, nothing is impossible. For those who are believing for marriages to be restored, you are able, nothing is impossible. For those who are believing for children to come home and to come to you are able and nothing is impossible. So God, we just cry out to you this morning. Oh, how we need you, Jesus. We love you and we worship you. In your name we pray, amen.